You're listening to Straight Shooters, a straightforward golf podcast that'll straighten out your game. And here are your hosts, Keith Bennett and Henry Stettina.
All right. Welcome back to the Straight Shooters Golf Podcast. Happy New Year. It's 2023. It's been a long time since we've said those magical words. But Keith, it's good to see you and it's good to be back on the air.
Yeah, man, for sure. I'm excited to get the podcast back underway and start churning out some regular episodes for everybody out there and hopefully line up some good guests for this year. But I think, you know, for this year, I think the idea is to not let perfect get in the way of good. You know, I think we kind of dropped off a little bit there and got a little busy. We both had some life things going on, just, you know, as life does. And, you know, we'll share those with everybody, what we were up to the last little bit there, and just try to keep things regular. I think that'd be kind of cool to see if we could really, really stick to, you know, recording every week. And I think that'd be a good, almost like a good side journey to share everybody, like how, you know, everybody's got goals for 2023. I think one of our goals is to record a weekly episode. And I think it'd be fun to kind of share how we're making it work and how everybody else can make, you know, things like this commitments they want to keep work for the new year.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When we went into that pandemic and everything changed completely, I had to change my classes, university courses from being delivered in person to being online. And part of that was to kind of structure some more Instagram type content, because that seemed to be what everybody in the golf industry was doing at the time. And you and I started talking quite a bit, and you've led me through that digital world. And it's interesting, you know, it really exposed those fears, something that you mentioned about trying to be perfect or waiting until the moment is right. It's oftentimes the start that keeps us from starting. I mean, we're afraid of being beginners. We're afraid of looking new and to be going through that initial stage of the learning process. We often compare ourselves to people who've been doing it for a really long time, and they have it all organized, and they speak well, and they write well, and they've got, you know, sometimes a lot of money invested into it. And we end up comparing our chapter one to their chapter 20, and it's not fair and it's not right. And, you know, after a few years of doing this, I've heard from people time and time again that that's one of maybe the biggest fear or setback that's keeping people from starting.
Yeah, I could not agree more. You know, I think like this year, almost like naming this year the year of the process, right? Like the year of just enjoying the process, not caring about the result. You know, not looking at how many downloads, not looking at how many followers, not looking at all these things, but just, you know, keep sticking to a schedule, keep doing what you know should work. And then, you know, check back at the end of the year and see how you did. And I think for me, that's going to be a big one. Like you said, that fear of looking like a beginner, you know, and it's interesting, they say that the best day to plant a tree is yesterday and the second best day is today. And how true that is. You know, I got back into doing some workouts here in the last week. I really wanted to get back on that. And it was humbling, man. I hadn't worked out in months and months and months. And like, I could, you know, barely do some of these movements that I was used to being able to do pretty regularly. And it's that kind of setbacky feel that can sort of stop you in your tracks. But I think learning to motor through that and learning to power through those moments is what it's all about. And again, not really caring what the outcome looks like. I think that's the hardest thing, is not caring what the result is. I think we look at the top of the mountain too often and not the step right in front of us. And I think for me this year, I want to do more of that. It's just like stack the brick by brick, stack the layer by layer, and not really worry so much about the result that comes with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I'm kind of starting to look into this world of YouTube, not necessarily for myself, but for my kids. As you know, I've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they watch a lot of YouTube. And I hear a lot of parents talking about restricting their screen time. And, you know, I think that I find comfort in knowing that I watched TV and played video games as a kid. The generation before us listened to the radio, and obviously we had other, maybe more outdoor activities than there are today, because the screen has become so addicting. But, you know, I see that them watching YouTube is a lot like us watching TV shows, and they have a few of these shows that they're really, really into, and they want to start YouTube channels. And so they're starting to kind of practice filming themselves. And it's interesting. It must be naturally ingrained into us that they want to have followers. They want to make money. They listen to their voice and they say it's cringy. And I'm just laughing at them. You know, I'm just laughing at them because it's what I experienced the same way. And they think I'm making fun of them, but I'm not. Because it's interesting to see from their perspective those very same insecurities that, you know, you and I have talked about for the past few years. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And it's always fun, you know, it's always like the fun start of the new year. You know, write out some goals. I hadn't ever been like a goal writer. You know, I wrote out some goals. And again, it was like, it's funny, like even writing goals, right? Like you need practice writing goals. Like you need, I think I was always worried like, oh, I got to have this perfect goal sheet with like this perfect board on my wall where I can see my goals every day and I can do it. Like I got to have perfect goals to even want to set goals, right? I was letting perfect get in the way of good, where it's like, no, I got to go through a year. Who, like, even if I don't meet any of my goals, I got to learn from the fact that I didn't, or I got to learn from the fact that maybe I met some of these goals because I set them the right way, or I set them within realistic parameters. Oh, and then like the other goals I set, they didn't work. Okay, that's why they didn't work. So like next year, I'll be better at writing goals and I'll be better at achieving those. Like even something as crazy, like you got to get practice writing goals and practice reaching goals. And for me, that was always debilitating because I wouldn't want to do it unless it was like, oh, this is the perfect way to do it. And I'd research how to write goals. Oh, this is the perfect way to write goals. It's like, no, man, I just got out a piece of paper, wrote some down. It's like, I'll see what happens with it, but I got to start somewhere. You know, I got to start some point. And, yeah, so it'll be good. I'm looking forward to, you know, sharing with everybody kind of how the year of the process goes for me and for us, and how we can maybe help everybody in turn, you know, meet some of their own goals or just get started with that thing they want to start, similar to this podcast, right? I think I would always like, again, perfect get in the way of good. I'd want to have like, oh, I got to have this perfect studio set up with a good backdrop and, you know, like all these things I got to look for. But it's like, no, man, just get on the freaking camera and hit the record button, you know, like just do it.
It's so funny because, you know, I think we've both found success or finding success in our own right. But we've talked a lot about being result driven and how that might be a motivator, but it's also a deterrent and it causes some anxieties and whatnot. But we go about goal setting so differently. I mean, you've said that, you know, you have a hard time setting goals and structuring plans. You're better at just kind of winging it and firing from the hip. And I like writing goals and I like to have control and I like to try to piece everything together and make it perfect. But it's also been a big setback because I'll spend so much time in doing that I won't actually take those actions to put it into effect. And I think at the end of the day, we just need to realize that balance is important. Doing things in moderation is important, and not striving for perfection, but striving for progress. You know, some of my goals for the new year, one of them is to journal every day. I have a daily routine. One of the items is journaling, and more of an exploratory type journal where I kind of try to get deeper into my thoughts and what's going on in my daily habits and mindsets. And today is the sixth day of the year, and I journaled this morning and it was my fourth entry, meaning I haven't journaled every day. In the past, I would have saw that as what I hadn't yet achieved, that I missed 2 days. But in reality, I was different this time around. I was proud of myself for journaling those 4 days because that was improved from what I had been doing the past couple of months. And so I think sometimes we get lost in focusing on how far we have yet to go, rather than focusing on how far we've come.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're always looking at our past and at our future, and, you know, with the anxiety and the, you know, hindsight that we're trying to always, you know, what we could have done or what we, you know, should have done or what we should be doing, or, you know, I'm watching this person post on Instagram, they're doing all these great things, I'm not doing that, I must not be up to snuff, or I must not be on the same level as that person. It's like, I'm glad you just said that, because it's like, yo, I've been watching Henry's Instagram stories and this guy's up journaling, meditating, working out. And in my world, when I look at that, I go, dang, this guy's up every single morning. And then to hear you say, hey, I've already missed some days, it's like, oh yeah, we don't really get the full story from looking at all these things that people post. We just assume, oh, this guy never misses a day, he's a freak, right? Like, you look at guys like David Goggins or these other people and you're like, these guys must never miss a day. Of course these guys miss days, right? It's this perception that they put out. They want you to think that they're this certain way. And then perception is reality for a lot of us. And then that hinders us because we think, well, I'm never going to hit that level. So, you know, like, what's the point? And then again, we get in our own way of just doing our own thing and setting our own goals and, you know, applauding other people for what they're doing, but also understanding that, hey, everyone's on their own journey and that we're all reaching, you know, results that are different from one another. It's interesting world we live in, where we get to see where what everyone else is doing, and comparing ourselves to everybody else. It's just, it can be a pretty tough way to go about it, you know, if you don't have the proper things in place to make sure you're not falling into those traps.
Yeah, you just kind of cued a thought that I had been playing around with recently. My wife turned me on to this person named Brené Brown. She's a university researcher who studies shame and guilt and also vulnerability and courage. And she talks a lot about how we steer away from vulnerability. We don't like those moments of feeling vulnerable, but we often want to be brave and courageous. And she says that there's no courage without vulnerability. Right. That being courageous is actually going into that arena where we feel most vulnerable. And, you know, I've been really thinking about that lately for some of my bigger fears, public speaking for one. And as long as we put ourselves in those situations, as long as we are vulnerable, as long as we're true to ourselves, in reality, there can be very little that can go wrong. And so far, over the past few months of actually putting that into practice, I've been impressed and have built a lot of confidence knowing that I will be okay in those moments. It's interesting that we tend to run away from that. And what sparked that was that you said that that I post that I'm doing these daily routines, meditations and prayer and writing and reading. And in reality, I should be also posting on those days that I don't, to let those people know that, hey, you know, today it was a challenge for whatever reason, and I wasn't able to meet those goals. So yeah, but, that's,
you know,
interesting.
And we live in that world where we don't want to post our failures because everybody else is posting their successes. So we feel like if we post our failures, then we'll be perceived a certain way. But, you know, as I just alluded to, it would be refreshing to see some of these, like, you know, hardos on Instagram who claim to never miss or, you know, do these things. It'd be nice for them to post their fact that, hey, man, I didn't feel it today. I wasn't up to it. I wanted to do it, but I just couldn't make it happen. Like, these days have, you know, it's like, almost that would be more refreshing and more relatable and more real. And I think you'd connect with more people by actually acknowledging that stuff. And I think we live in this world where we've been taught to put up this veil of, you know, this veil that we're infallible. And we know that human beings don't work like that. Right. So it's like, I think, like you said, posting that, it's the same thing with me. Like, I'll make 15 swings on my phone before I post one to my story, you know, like I should post the first one that I hit like shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I should post. Like, not the 15th where I liked it. You know, that's the reality of the situation, but I think we're conditioned to do these things where we feel the need to show that we're, you know, untouchable or these, and I don't know that that's as relatable or really human nature.
Yeah, I think it's normal to want to show our successes, to be proud of ourselves, to have people have positive perceptions of us. But it sounds to me like we both have kind of a mutual paralleling type goals of being okay with imperfectness. Imperfection, sorry. To be vulnerable, to put ourselves out there in a more truthful and honest way. And I think that'll go a long ways. I think it'll be interesting as we progress through this, when we get guests on the podcast, to be a little bit more vulnerable, to feel a little bit more maybe comfortable in certain situations, and act as the learner here rather than the authoritative figure, and learn from some of these experts in the field.
Yeah, totally. You know, like every elite golfer I've been around, or just like, you know, perceived successful person, they're the ones usually asking the most questions, and they're the ones usually the most curious, you know, and that's why they've gotten to their levels, because they're just seeking information more than others. And they don't really care how others perceive them. And they don't care, you know, how vulnerable they look, because they're so hell bent on getting better and just getting a little bit more information that they rather do that at the cost of looking a certain way to, you know, to somebody, because they just realized how unproductive that is to live in that world. But it's a hard one to get out of sometimes.
Do you want to work one-on-one with either Henry or Keith? Well, you're in luck. Both Henry and Keith offer online lessons and monthly coaching subscriptions using the Skillist app. Online coaching allows you to learn at your own pace by digesting smaller chunks of information more frequently. Download Skillist, search for Henry or Keith, and get started today.
And I think that, you know, we've been away from this podcast for a little bit. We haven't recorded in a while, or we haven't been able to connect with some of our listeners. And so let's give them a little bit of a kind of a recap of some of those things that have been going on in our lives lately, maybe personally and professionally. So I know you've had a couple of big events going on. Tell us a little bit about where you've been and what you're doing.
Yeah, I for sure had a really busy, you know, year and a half. Obviously, probably if you follow me on Instagram, which many probably do, we welcomed our first child into the world, Oliver Bennett. He was born November 9th, and it was the most surreal experience I've ever had. It was just an otherworldly experience. My wife is the most badass woman I've ever met. You just hard to explain, you know, how incredible it is to see your partner, you know, do that, and to be there with them, and to see, you know, the energy in the room, all the nurses, you know, everybody, you know, pushing her along, and you know, it was wild. You know, we walked into the hospital, I think it was like at like 2 o'clock, maybe 2:30, and Oliver was born 25 minutes later.
Wow.
From hitting the ground floor to getting up in the elevator to getting in the triage to giving birth, it was absolutely insane. But it was a great pregnancy. You know, everyone was happy and healthy, and you know, we were out of the hospital about 72 hours later. So it was fantastic. And yeah, so that's been obviously the bulk of my last year. He just turned 14 months. So it's been incredible watching him grow. He's in a really fun stage right now where he's, you know, trying to walk. He's very talkative. He's very, you know, alert, very inquisitive. It's just a lot of fun. So there's that, which is obviously like a massive life event. And then 2 months ago, we all moved down to Scottsdale, Arizona. So we bought our first house down in Scottsdale, really nice 4-bedroom with a huge backyard and a nice pool and big backyard where I put a putting green in and synthetic turf down. And And I'm working teaching golf at McCormick Ranch Golf Club in Scottsdale, about 14 minutes from my house, which is awesome. Really, really nice facility. So yeah, some big stuff there, and obviously that's, you know, two massive life changes, you know, moving states, moving, buying our first house, having a kid. You know, those two things have been huge. And then, you know, just been cranking out with lessons and online lessons and, you know, social media opportunities and that sort of stuff has been really good for me and productive. And so a lot of that hasn't changed, but it's, you know, it's ramping up, and I've got some cool stuff I, you know, can't quite share. It's not totally solidified yet for 2023, but yeah, it's gonna, I got some cool stuff coming up, and I'm looking forward to what this year has in store for me.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, you've been freaking busy. I remember, you know, when you telling that story, we have two daughters, and both of them were born very soon after getting to the hospital. In both situations, my wife gave birth within 30 minutes of arriving. You know, we nearly didn't make it to the hospital in time on one of them. For whatever reason, my wife has this massive pain tolerance, and neither time did she need or did she have time for an epidural. And so to go through that the way we did, it was amazing to see her strength, and I have a ton of respect for her. So I can totally relate to that situation. And then we too moved very quickly after having our first child. We moved within about 8 weeks of her birth across a state over from Phoenix to Las Cruces. And it was a very stressful time. And so I can imagine some of the things that you've been going through and what's been, you know, consuming your time. I'm actually quite impressed that you've been able to keep up with your teaching as much as you have. How have you guys done that? I mean, you and your wife are both extremely busy. Have you had to cut back at all, or what's kind of been your scheduling change since having the baby and moving?
Yeah, you know, like I cut back, I took 2 months off from in-person teaching, and I cut back to 3 days a week there for a little bit, and then I added 4 days a week just so I could make sure that I was around enough and offering enough support and making sure I wasn't gone too much. So I did cut back my in-persons, but you know, I obviously stopped doing online there for a little bit, but then I got back up and running. And the nice part about the online lessons, man, is, you know, you can do them anywhere and with just a little bit of space to move a golf club around and to show yourself demonstrating. So, you know, that's been going full bore, and I've had the biggest year as far as sales go on online lessons, and hoping to continue that trend there moving forward. So, I mean, this virtual world we live in, where people are getting more and more comfortable learning virtually and using their cameras and apps and things like that, it's just only made it easier to have these bigger life changes, but still, you know, not feel like I'm disrupting everything that I've kind of built and have been doing. So, you know, it's going to take me some time to build up the client base that I had in Seattle down here in Scottsdale. And I totally expected that, but the fact that I could be doing, you know, social media stuff and online lessons made the move feasible in reality. So yeah, it's been obviously some change, but a lot of it has kind of stayed the same, which is good.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I found with online lessons, we've talked in the past about some of the benefits. Obviously, it's quite different. A student has access to instructors from all over the world. There's kind of this delay that allows for the information to be digested more easily, both by the instructor and by the student. The videos can be replayed. You know, it's not like things are rushed in a normal in-person lesson, but something that I've found probably the most beneficial lately is those relationships that are built. Some of my best students are the ones that I feel like are improving the most, and the ones who I enjoy working with the most are ones that we've built a relationship. We keep an open line of communication, and I'm basically a friend to that person. Yep. Somebody who they can send video to and get instruction from, of course, but also to help them sort through all the information that's available online. I mean, information is not limited by any means, and so they can get the information anywhere. But one of the things that they find most challenging is how to decipher that information and whether or not they're going down an avenue that might be productive or one that might be harmful. And so to be that screen, that filter for them, it seems to be that it allows for more consistency for our own instruction to take root. And it's just a piece of comfort to know that there's someone available to them who has a genuine interest in their game and in their being.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think that's probably the biggest thing about the app is that student, like you said, we've never lived in a time where more information has been readily available. Like, we are in the information age, right? I mean, we're not in the dark ages of no internet anymore, and there is no shortage of information. But the biggest thing I see people struggling with is exactly what you said, deciphering it, disseminating it, you know, trying to piece together, hey, is this going to actually make me better? And that's kind of where a trusted voice comes into play, where they can say, bounce ideas off, you know, because we're not idiots. We know they're going to go watching videos, even though they're taking lessons from us. So we got to be able to help them figure out what is and what isn't beneficial. And I think having direct access to a coach who they know can decipher that stuff for them and help them to learn how to do that is really where the app is the most beneficial, where you wouldn't get that typically from the old structure of in-person lesson, where, hey, I maybe see this person once a month and we don't communicate in between. And a lot can happen in a month, as you and I have figured out working with in-person lessons. And it can either be good, and oftentimes it's not productive. So, yeah, man, tell us a little bit about what you've been up to. I know you've been doing some cool things and, you know, setting some cool routines and processes in place, and bring us up to speed, brother.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just kind of continuing with that same topic of having information available for people throughout the internet. For the past handful of months, I've been working to kind of transition this digital golf instruction from being a hobby to something that's a little bit more workable, a little bit more usable, maybe a little bit more profitable. And it kind of goes back to something that we learned or heard from when we had Erica Larkin on the show, when she said that her book was usually an initial piece of information for somebody who would go to her for a golf lesson. And so when they arrived, they were already familiar with her teachings and her philosophies. And so I've been working to write an ebook. Obviously, we just, made that live just the other day. I've been working to build some online courses. I'm looking to produce more in-depth content that a person can follow, read, learn, digest, and be more familiar with some of the concepts that I teach and philosophies that I have, to where when they do come for either an in-person or an online lesson, that they're already on board with some of the terminology and concepts that we'll be using. I think that'll go a much further way in getting them jump-started at the very beginning, and it'll probably increase their ability to stay with the program much longer. So those are kind of some of the things that I've been working on professionally for the past few months and will continue to move forward with in 2023. I have some really cool plans that I'm looking to introduce, you know, starting with our newsletter and working into online courses and ebooks. But it should be fun, and I'm really excited for it.
Nice, man. And then what's been going on in your, you know, personal processes and personal endeavors, you know, trying to get a little bit better as a human?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, life took a big turn a few years ago. Ended up getting sick and from alcoholism, and was in the hospital for 10 days. Realized walking through those hospital hallways, trying to build strength to be discharged, that I was at the lowest point of my life. I needed to kind of turn things around, and I would never let myself become so weak again. And after that, I kind of was introduced to fitness through a drug and alcohol treatment facility. And after leaving there, I was, you know, I was kind of set on my way to live a healthier and happier life. And throughout the pandemic, got into fitness. Shortly thereafter, I, you know, I did the 75 hard program, which was a mental discipline, more than anything, but obviously some physical advantages. And I guess a fellow professional, someone from our section, saw that and said, you know, you really like to do hard things, and maybe you should try running a marathon. The PGA has a charitable branch called PGA Reach. It supports military diversity and youth golf. They recently introduced a new pillar of municipality golf. And so they have a running team that runs the New York City Marathon as a charitable team to raise money for PGA Reach. And so, you know, it was an interesting opportunity, and I didn't wait too long to accept it. And in 2021, I started training. I had no experience running. I actually despised it growing up, and I took on to starting from the beginning, you know, kind of being new to running just a mile or two at a time, and working my way up through this 16 or 18 week training process to where I was able to run the marathon without stopping other than for water breaks every couple of miles. And, you know, after the birth of my kids, it was the most exhilarating experience of my life. I kind of fell in love with it. The marathon happens to be during the same week as my sobriety date. So it's an incredible celebration, and to run through all five boroughs of New York City and to see the fans, they say that there's upwards to 2 million people lining the streets. And so it's just an incredible experience. And, you know, I continue to set out on that journey. And this past year, I ran the marathon again for a second time, and ended up building out a really well done garage gym. And so we've kind of dove in the deep end with this fitness health journey. And I'm really looking forward to incorporating that into my life, obviously, sharing that with our followers. And then probably most importantly is kind of building these habits for my family. You know, we've done some family workouts. My wife is into it. My kids are interested in kind of doing the exercises. And hopefully it becomes something that we enjoy and we can do together for years to come.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And just want to say I'm super, super proud of you watching the journey. Obviously, you know, knowing you for as long as I have, you know, when you got sick and, you know, like you said, that was a pretty low time for you. And I could sense that, and, you know, you alluded to it, but where you've come from and in a, you know, where you've gotten to in a short amount of time is super inspiring. And I derive a ton of inspiration from that. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. And, continue to share, you know, what we've got going on with everybody, and hopefully have a great year. But, yeah, what do you say we put a little bow on this, and look forward to lining up some good guests, but also just having some chats with everybody. And, feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram pages, you know, let us know what you're interested in, let us know what you want to hear about. And, we'll take that into consideration always.
Yeah, man, I think this was a great conversation. I think we have some great goals and plans for the new year. I think it's great, number one, just to be back and recording and chatting and sharing with our listeners. I think that we both have a very similar mindset in seeking comfort in being vulnerable and in being imperfect and starting from the beginning and not comparing ourselves to people who are well into their careers. And so it should be a fantastic year. I think the key is going to be to stay consistent. I think that hopefully our listeners got a little bit more information as to what we both have been doing the past, I don't know, 12 to 18 months or so since we've been on. And again, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to the new year, and have a great day worth of teaching, and we'll go on to next time.
All right, dude. Looking forward to it. Yep. And we'll chat soon.
Take care, buddy. Have a good one.